This episode is for Mark. Thank you for inspiring me and putting me on the path I'm on today. You were one of my damn few, and you will truly be missed. Love you, buddy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Sit Still, Look Opinionated. I'm your host, the human equivalent of your stylish insulated metal water bottle, Clara Malky. I'm cool and refreshing no matter how long you leave me on the kitchen counter. But make sure you don't drop me, because if you do, I'll make a hideous ear-piercing clanging sound. Welcome back to the podcast. So, in these unprecedented times, there's been something on my mind, and that is color-changing light bulbs. I just got some. I was a little hesitant at first because they're like $35 and I usually only spend $2, but it's so worth it because they're so freaking cool. Like, who wants a regular incandescent bulb when you can decide to have green lights or yellow lights or red lights or a long period of red, a somewhat long amount of yellow, and a very, 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 very short amount of green? Okay, maybe I just missed driving. Well, daydreaming is my hobby, so my imagination is constantly running rampant. TBH, sometimes I have to tone it down. When that needs to happen, I change my bulbs to a blue fluorescent color. Nothing like 9-to-5 lighting to kill the imagination. When I need a pick-me-up, I change the bulb to pink, because it reminds me of beachy sunsets. And when I'm feeling stagnant, I constantly change the color because I have no idea which direction I'm headed. I'm the literal manifestation of the MacBook spinning wheel of death. Nothing good ever comes from that little color wheel menace. Not gonna lie, I was pretty nervous about updating the format of the show. But honestly, I love how much fun we're having in our writer's room and recording sessions. Even though we're still virtual and Zoom fatigue is real, there's nothing like laughing with a bunch of new old friends. I guess that kind of brings us back to the light bulbs. Just like them, I was hesitant about the cost of changing the show, but once I committed, I found so many opportunities to add color to our content. Plus, it's my podcast, so I can do whatever the fuck I want with it. I am so pumped to share all of our fun new colors with you. Do you know what else is fun? This week's episode! We've got a great one in store for you all today. First up, we've got our headlines, and then our sketches, and make sure you stick around for my excellent interview with the self-proclaimed colorful maximalist, Adrienne Hawthorne of Ponopause. See what we did there with the colors? We're definitely gonna let you think that we did that on purpose. Because we totally did. Adrienne is so lovely, and I think you all are definitely gonna dig her vibe. So make sure you stick around. Since we're in that weird fake springtime of year here in Chicago, I'm reaching for my almost spring drink of a sweet sparkling rosé. Go ahead and grab your drink and let's get started. And now for this week's headlines. Woods was involved in a rollover car crash, leaving him seriously injured. The accident is blamed on Woods' caddy choosing the wrong driver. During surgery, doctors inserted a metal rod into his leg, which proves that you can take the driver out of the club, but not the club out of the driver. Many seniors aren't tech savvy, which is making it hard for them to sign up for the COVID vaccine. Yes, Papa, we'll show you the internet, but please tell us again how you got through law school working part-time for a minimum wage. A 105-year-old woman credited rum-soaked raisins for helping her beat the COVID infection. It's bittersweet because the nursing home took away her beer bong. The FDA announced Johnson & Johnson's vaccine prevents severe COVID with a single shot. Johnson & Johnson, where you get one for the price of two. With so many vaccines in development worldwide, scientists are facing a shortage of lab monkeys. Unless certain demands are met, a strike is imminent, says union leader Mr. Bananas. A Bachelor contestant is facing backlash after photos of her at an Old South party surfaced. Producers suspected she may have been racist when they revealed this season's Bachelor was black, and her response was, "Oh." John Mulaney left a rehab earlier this month, but swiftly returned after still claiming to see that large furry monster that's always trying to get him to jerk off. Leave the man alone, Maury. He just left rehab. Comedian and activist Chelsea Handler celebrated her birthday this year by skiing while naked, which is the most empowering thing since Jane Fonda burned her bra while doing the exact same thing. Probably. Greenpeace ships have been dropping giant boulders into the sea to stop fishing boats from trawling the seabed. Sailors should be prepared for some rocky conditions. Trump's tax records have officially been handed over to Manhattan's district attorney. The former president's response was hard to hear over the private jet preparing to take off from Moscow. A golden statue of Trump was a featured attraction for attendees of the conservative CPAC conference. "I thought we already went over this," said Moses. While Broadway and the West End remain closed, Australia has become an unexpected market for live theater. Some attribute it to their advanced COVID relief, but I think it was the all-koala cast production of Frozen. In order to scrutinize state election laws, Republicans established a Committee on Election Integrity. The committee is chaired by Mike Pence, Rush Limbaugh's ghost, and the horns dude from the insurrection. This week, FEMA authorized the use of Dodgers Stadium as a large-scale vaccination site. After receiving the shot, patients are less likely to catch COVID, but more likely to catch that fly ball. With spring training underway, teams and players are eager to return to a 162-game season. Now that baseball is back, many Americans are secretly hoping for another pandemic. Canceled Trader Joe's is trending after the company fired an employee for suggesting a three-strike policy against customers who refuse to wear a mask. This comes as heartbreaking news to me, personally, who is a big fan of the grocery store, and will definitely think much more severely about the company as I shop through the less crowded freezer section. While psychoactive Delta 9 cannabis is banned in most parts of the country, retailers are selling its fraternal twin, Delta 8. In case you were wondering, Delta 8 is the Danny DeVito twin. But from Always Sunny, the couch episode. A first century chariot was found under volcanic ash at an archaeological site in Pompeii. A 3-horsepower engine was also found next to the chariot. Kidding. It was 3 dead horses. And that was this week's headlines. It's March here in the city of Chicago, and COVID-19 leaves many once-thriving storefront theaters in uncertain territory.
Here to talk more about the impact the pandemic is having on our Chicago performance arts are our culture correspondents, Gabe and Fee. How's it going, guys?
Great, Claire. We're here at the Slightly Annoyed Theater, and it looks like, yep, Fee's already wandered off.
Well, can you call her back here? You know, we've got this segment to do. Wait, what's happening? Is that tap dancing?
Sure is, Claire. It looks like Fee has now started stress tapping.
That's a thing? I didn't know Fee could dance.
Yeah, she can't, but she does anyway whenever she's... Hang on. Fee! Quit screwing around! We're on! Sorry, Claire. It's been a while since she's stepped foot inside a theater, and I think it's affecting her.
Is she all right?
Oh, sure. She's just...
I miss this so much!
Having a bit of a meltdown. She tried to do trust falls earlier by herself. I had to remind her we weren't in a rehearsal.
Oh, okay. I mean, we can always do this another time if you know this is...
Hey, Fee! Buddy! I'm gonna need you to get the fuck out of the props closet, okay?
No!
Fee?
No! I live in here now!
Dude, come on. You know you're not supposed to touch props that aren't... Are those fucking swords?
The orcs will end the age of man!
No, no! Damn it! Oh, shit!
Victory is mine! Chase me!
Gabe, are you okay?
Yeah, this? Oh, this flesh wound? Yeah, totally fine. I'd be a little more concerned if this was the first time this happened.
What? Actually, you know what? Never mind. Let's just move on before something else happens. So, with another wave of COVID on the horizon, what is the risk of theaters like this closing down permanently?
Well, Claire, it's very... Hey! Get down from the rafters this instant!
You're not my stage manager!
For the last time, you're not in a show. You don't have a stage manager. How'd you even get up there so fast?
Guys, can we please focus? What is something we can do to help save our Chicago theaters?
Step one, go to your local props closet!
Nobody has those. Now get down!
Step two, find a sword!
Oh no.
Step three, defend the theater with your life! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
Gabe, what's happening now?
Claire, it looks as though Fee is now swinging from the rafters like a chimpanzee.
Oh, the theater!
Oh my god! No, 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 no!
Looks like we're experiencing some all-around difficulties. To read more on the theater scene here in the Windy City, check out the link in show notes. And now a word from one of our sponsors. True love inspires you. It moves you to care for people, to exhibit kindness, thoughtfulness, and tenderness. It fills every fiber of your soul with warmth and compassion. From generations before you and generations to come. This season, let your love flow freely and openly. Show the world your altruistic side, and show it to your partner by giving them what they really want in a relationship. Blood diamonds. Blood diamonds. Show the world you care. Are you looking for a way to support this show you're listening to right now? Well, my friend, you are in luck. And not just because McDonald's brought back their yearly Shamrock Shakes. To contribute to all the fun, you can join us over on Patreon for an array of behind-the-scenes moments. If you join us at the $15 level, you may even get a shout-out on the show. Thanks, Anna, you rock!
But I do totally understand we're in a pandemic, and if 15 buckaroos is not your jam, you can always join us on the $3 level. We'll be happy to have you no matter what. Now, you may be asking, but Claire, what other levels are there? And that is for me to know and you to find out. Hey, I can't give away all the surprises. Where's the fun in that? For real, though, if you do want to check us out, you can give us a visit at www.patreon.com/sitstill. And now for this week's interview with Adrienne Hawthorne of Ponopause. So for today's Chicago Artist Spotlight, we have Adrienne Hawthorne. Welcome to Sit Still, Look Opinionated.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, we're super excited to have you on. Adrienne, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and about your store as well?
Sure. So my name's Adrienne, and I actually operate my business under the name Ponopause, which were two imaginary friends I had as a kid named Pono and Pauser. So I'm an artist, and I paint really colorful, abstract, maximal pieces. And about a yearish ago, I opened a little art studio and storefront in Ravenswood in Chicago.
That is amazing. The Ravenswood neighborhood is so cute. It was one of the first places I lived when I moved to Chicago.
Really nice. Yeah, I currently live here as well. So it's little Sesame Street here.
I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah, totally.
So you mentioned that your store was inspired by two imaginary friends you had. Could you talk a little bit about that and how you first started making art?
Yes. Okay. So it's kind of a weird story. I always made art as a kid and everything and was very creative as a youngster. But naturally, as I progressed throughout my life and my career, I reeled that in a bit because I didn't want to be a weirdo. And I was far less creative than I think is really the true me. And about two years ago, I started painting, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later. But I started painting and I really wanted to get what had become my corporate self back to my creative self. And so that's why I wanted a name that was weird, that didn't exist, so I could easily get the website, and also wanted something that would like tie me back to little kid Adrienne. And that was Pono and Pauser were these little dolls I carried around, but they had like big personalities. So it's just easier to say they were my imaginary friends, but they were very well known. Like my mom, grandma, aunts, uncles, everybody like knew of them and knew of their personas. So that's the reason for picking the name Ponopause for my creative endeavor.
That's so fun. So for anyone who knows you super well, were those names like totally on point for you?
Yeah, I made up a lot of weird things as a kid. I had names for everything. And I think, yeah, those just kind of stood out. And so yeah, I just created my own word out of it, Ponopause. I dropped the er. I don't know. It sounded weird and cool and interesting, and that's the name of the shop. Nobody knows how to say it. Everybody asked me about it. Perfect.
So that's a fun conversation starter, you know, getting right into about your work.
That's exactly right. It all worked out.
Could you talk a little bit more about colorful maximalism and sort of how that inspires your work a little bit too?
So I've just always loved color. I think it's been the basis for everything I've ever done. I actually have a degree in graphic design, and I've done that for a long time. And so my favorite part of every project was picking the colors for the brand or the website or whatever. And I don't know, it's just how I see the world. Like I see colors in my head and I see color combinations. And so I'll start painting just with that base color palette. And sometimes I don't stray too far from that. And other times I just keep adding as much as I can and try adding pattern and try adding little duders or, you know, stars or like other things just to make it extra and loud and hard to miss, which is like, I'm a Leo. So I think,
oh my gosh. Yes. That's so great. I'm a Leo rising. So I feel that,
Oh, no, I'm a Leo and a Capricorn rising.
Oh, nice.
Wild combo.
Wow. Yeah, I've been actually starting to learn a little bit more about like more than just your sun sign, and so many things have been informed. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, the moon sign and the rising sign are very, very like key parts of your personality, which I only recently found out also.
Yeah, I feel like there's in a similar way to like the artistic world, I feel like astrology gets a little bit sometimes like misunderstood in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there to help you understand yourself.
Yeah.
That's how I explain it to the naysayers, but you just have to have an open mind. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know any different than other things. So
I love that. Yeah. An open mind. That's something that I always try to carry in when I'm going into conversations or anything like an unknown situation, just having like a great open mind.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to like believe it to a T or whatever, but if you get something out of it, which I definitely did when I found out my moon sign, like, you know, it's just informative. And you don't have to like, you can learn from it. You don't have to take your information from whatever source, like the same source always. I don't know.
So true. Yeah. Yeah. Getting a new source of information. That's super important. Going back to your experimenting a little bit with color and patterns and everything.
Yeah.
What was the experience like of deciding to open this shop and like try this experiment out and leave like your corporate side? Could you talk a little bit about that, that jump that you made?
Oh, man. I didn't fully leave my corporate side. I still have a day job. So I think that's important to tell people because I'm only open at the shop 2 days a week because of that. And like, this is truly my happy place and it's not what I do 100% of the time. And I think I want it to be someday, but for now, it's like my side happy project and the check I get from my day job enables me to continue doing this. So this is like a very sacred place to me. Like I don't need to be open 6 days a week. And so when I am open, it's like special and important for me to be here. But let's see, what was the original question? Cause I went on a tangent.
Yeah. Like what was it like opening the shop, like going through all of that, getting that off the ground? Cause I so admire that. I also have a full-time job that allows me to do the podcast and yeah. I feel very akin to that. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about your story too.
So the shop came about, well, I guess it's always something I've wanted to do. You know, I've gone into a lot of boutiques here in Chicago or anywhere and always thought, wow, this is well curated. I think I could do an awesome job if I ever had a boutique. So it was always something I wanted, but never was like, I didn't know if it would happen or not. And then I started Pono Pause in 2018. And as it got more and more popular, I went to shows. Like I'd go to Renegade Craft Fair or Show of Hands or craft shows. And that's where people could come meet me and buy the work. But I wanted more than that. And I remember August of 2019, I rented a Penske moving truck and I did a show in it called Penske Pause. And I just put a rug in there and like tables and I hung all my artwork in the truck and parked it actually over here on Damon, right in front of Allopash. And it was awesome. It was just the experience of curating that moving truck was so cool that I felt like I needed to at least have a space. And maybe this would be the moment that I finally curate a boutique. And oddly enough, across the street from the moving truck art show was the space at 4824 North Damon. And it was a little guy, a little spot. And I looked at it and that's the radiator, that noise. Sorry. And I rented it on site like with 2 weeks later. So then I don't know. I've been learning as I go. Like I didn't know where to get products from, how wholesaling worked. It was pretty intense to get it ready in 2-3 months because I opened November 2nd of 2019.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
What has this first year of having this shop open been like with, you know, the pandemic and everything as well?
So at first I wanted to keep the shop like kind of separate. So like you couldn't buy anything online. It was just kind of like, you could buy my prints and everything online on my website, but like the candles and the other vendors, the jewelry I carry, that's not like my stuff. It was kind of like, oh, you have to find a way to make it here in person. And that was fine. You know, it's just, I didn't want to get into a whole e-commerce website where I'm fulfilling orders and doing a day job and all that. But then the pandemic happened and no one could really come here in person. And I waited that out. You know, I didn't think, I'm like, whatever, who cares? Like eventually when I open again, we'll just do in person again. But what ended up happening is around the holidays, I thought about it a little more. And not only was it kind of, it was unsafe to come here. So if I'm trying to be like, hey, I was here, but it's like, if I'm encouraging people to come in here and shop in big groups, like that's not the right thing to do. And also it was the holidays. And so I decided to try an e-commerce site. And I actually had a lot of fun packing all the orders up and everything. And I started to move some of the product that, you know, because I was only open twice a week. Like there wasn't a lot of movement usually. And so I don't regret that. I actually just recently upgraded my site to even better Shopify site. And now I'm e-commerce came out of that, but I never wanted that when I started. It was just like, oh, this is a boutique that you can go to, and but you, there's no website. Which was frustrating for a lot of my Instagram followers that don't live in Chicago. You know, they wanted to buy that tea towel or buy that necklace. And I'm like, yeah, I don't do that. But I mean, that's been the theme of this Panopause business, is like trying to curb the expectation of what a retail store should be and just make this whatever I want it to be and see if people jump on. And they a lot of people really have. So it's been nice.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
I know in there's so much out there in the business world that's like, you've got to do this. Like, this is the box you have to check. And I feel that way sometimes about Instagram, because I'm like, I just want the Instagram to serve so people will find the podcast. And then
There's like, a lot of rules. And it's like, for what? I don't know. Like, we're in an era where we have the internet and social media, and you can make your own rules. And yeah, I mean, when I first opened, a lot of people were like, I mean, people say that it's like they're how they greet me when they come in the shop is, hi, I've been walking by, but you're never open. And I'm like, I know. But, you know, I feel guilt and pressure sometimes to be open more. But then I remind myself what this actually is. And it's truly something for me to make me happy and to bring joy to other people. And I have to make it work with my schedule, because right now I do work full time. So I can't be here every day. And that's just how it is. And part of me is like, I don't know, if I was open every day, maybe I wouldn't love it as much.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know. Maybe in the future I'll grow into that. But again, I don't even know. I'm not really sure where it'll go. Mm-hmm. Like 2-3 years from now. I don't know what I'll be doing.
Do you have any like phrases or thoughts that you use to remind yourself when you feel like you're getting away from that joy and that love for the art?
I always just, I don't know if I have a phrase. I have a sticker on my laptop that says, be nice to yourself, that I got at Humboldt House in Chicago, which is a great shop for anyone listening. But that just, because I am very hard on myself. I'm a perfectionist and I'm working on unlearning it, because it's a lot of unnecessary grief that nobody will see but me. And I'm learning that. Like, I slowly have been going against my own perfectionism. Like, oh, what if this isn't perfect and you launch it anyway? And I did do that with my latest website. I'm a couple sections are under construction and it's just sitting out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. The world didn't end because I launched unfinished. And it's just a constant learning struggle for me, because I am a very perfection-y type person who wants everything to appear to the T before it's out there. And that's not really fair as an artist, you know? You can't really explore when you have that mindset.
Yeah.
I'm working on that.
Yeah.
Don't be exploration.
Oh, sorry.
Don't be a perfectionist. That's my phrase, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being kind to yourself is so important. And same thing with, you know, any sort of art out there, you know, it's all about exploring. And if you don't find the joy in it anymore, like kind of what's the point?
It's really hard. Something I'm doing now. It's really hard when you start making art and people like it. And then they kind of expect that same, or maybe they don't, but in my head, I think, oh, I have to paint things a certain way in order for people to still like them. And that's really, that prevents me from exploring a lot. So what I've started to do is every day I do a sketch of anything. It can be with paint or pen or pencil. The point is to just get me to like make something every day without overthinking about selling it or who's going to buy it or does it fit my style? Is it colorful maximalist? Like I'm just, you know, you have to play and explore. And I struggle to do that because everything is in my head has to be perfect out of the box. Like making mistakes does not go over very well mentally for me. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's rough.
I can totally echo that as well. So many things. Where do you draw some of that inspiration from for those daily sketches?
So I just started 7 days ago. What have I been doing? The first day I just took some of my acrylic gouache paint and just, like, a lot of times when I start a painting, I just look at the paints I already have and I see sometimes in the grouping of how they're sitting on the art, like, cart or whatever, I see color combos. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a painting just based on how these paints are sitting in this cart. So I kind of did that the first day. And then the last few days I've been using Posca markers. They're like paint pens. And I've been drawing my boyfriend and my cats, like, really quick sketches. And it's funny because it's little snapshots of our daily life. But it's not a painting. It's not very colorful, you know. It has nothing to do with what I do. But the whole point is to just get me to be comfortable making things again, because I've been kind of in a creative funk lately, which is, you know, depressing. Yeah. It's been helping me. It's just very foreign.
When you do find yourself in some of those creative funks, are there any other places you look to for inspiration, like locations or memories or anything like that?
What do I do? I feel like when I'm in a funk, I usually look on Instagram at what other artists are doing. You know, sometimes I get motivated when I see some really cool things out there. Also, you know, nature and plants inspire me. Color, like, it can be so quick that it changes from a funk to not a funk. If I see, like, a certain swatch of color, I'll be like, oh, that would be cool. So it just, yeah, I mean, when I'm in those funks, I don't paint, just because I don't know. And I think maybe I need to push myself to just paint something, or even if I don't sell it, or maybe I just paint it for fun, just for me. But, like, I know it sounds pretty crazy, but for me, I, like, take a canvas and I paint it and then I try to sell it. Like, there's no in between. There's no, oh, why don't you just try something out on this paper? And if you don't like it, rip it up. Like, that, like, that gives me so much anxiety, but it's important to be able to do that. And so I'm training myself to just be more casual about it instead of so serious.
Yeah, I love that. That is so, yeah, I feel like so many times it's like, okay, you know, you want your business to grow, you have to do this, this, this. And then where's the fun in it? Like, what's the point of starting something if you aren't learning as you go?
Right.
One of my favorite quotes is, the journey is the reward. And I am constantly, like, thinking to myself, the journey is the reward.
Yes. That is, I like that quote too. That is very important to remember, because even if you don't sell the painting, whatever, since that's the theme of this conversation, like, you know, what did you learn in that moment? Or did you have some quiet time for your brain to calm down and think? And that, those are rewarding also. And that, I just have to remind myself that I don't have to optimize for, you know, the brand or, you know, my finances, like, 24/7. That's because otherwise, yeah, you won't grow. And I think I'm in this weird stage where I am trying to grow, and it's just kind of uncomfortable. Yeah.
So your shop, I can see in the background, is very bright, and there's lots of jewelry and other pieces of art. Could you talk a little bit about your curation process and how you pick what you do want to be next to your art as well?
I mean, the main thing is it has to be colorful, and it has to be either a local, not necessarily local to Chicago, but, like, a smaller brand. So I guess, yeah, the main thing is color. If I see something that's really colorful, I'll look into the brand. I'll see, like, how it's made, or, like, you know, who's running it. You know, there have been some times where I found things that maybe were too big for me and I didn't want to, like, carry, like, a bigger brand. So a lot of the stuff in here is, like, people, other artists I met at Renegade Craft Fair, et cetera, here in Chicago. So there's, like, a lot of stuff from Chicago here, a couple things from just general Midwest. And then there's random things like New Works, a brand I love from California. When I lived in San Francisco, I found them, and, you know, they have two stores, so they're not very big, and their prints are wild and super weird. So yeah, I think the criteria is it's got to be colorful and it's got to be unique, not necessarily handmade, but just, you know, something that people aren't going to just find at the other shops over here, you know, like, something different, but colorful or weird. Colorful or weird. Yeah.
That's so fun. I love that vibe. That sounds really exciting. Yeah. You mentioned Chicago and other Midwest artists. Do you draw any inspiration from the city of Chicago, or does the city of Chicago help inform any of your work at all?
I guess not, like, in the way that some people with Chicago. Not in the way I think that some people do. Like, I never paint the city or anything. But I do think being in Chicago has allowed me to be an artist because I have a strong community here. A sense of community. And I'm from here, but I lived in San Francisco for almost 3 years and I didn't have that there. And when I moved back to Chicago, that's when I started Panopause. And I think being in Chicago around people that I love and that love me, and then meeting other artists and seeing how supportive and awesome the art community is here and the maker community, I think that inspires me to keep putting myself out there and doing this in a way that I didn't really feel in San Francisco because it wasn't my home. And it's a very transient city, or, people are in and out of San Francisco all the time. So, which isn't a bad thing, but I just feel more of a community here in Chicago. Yeah.
Chicago. I feel I'm not originally from Chicago. I moved here about 4 years ago, and I have really noticed too, and so many different mediums like community, like comedy and theater. There's just so many art communities here and little niches. And it's really been fun for me to explore different aspects of this city, which is really cool.
Where did you live before?
So I am originally from Virginia, right outside of DC.
Cool.
And then I went to college on Long Island in New York. And everyone was moving to Manhattan right after school. And one of my close friends was like, hey, I think I'm going to move to Chicago. Like, do you want to try this city with me? And something about me is I like to jump in with 2 feet and then figure it out. Done that with podcasts, done that with comedy. So yeah, then I moved here and I called it my study abroad year because I was like, I'll go back, after a year. And here I am 4 years later, just loving it.
I mean, Chicago gets kind of a bad rap. I mean, when I lived in San Francisco, it was like, oh yeah, Chicago. Yeah, you're from there. Everybody leaves, or, it's very Midwest. And, but what I think based on leaving, I just felt like people here actually do keep it real. And they don't in San Francisco. I'm sorry. I hope, people that are listening that live there. I couldn't read people in San Francisco, and I work in Silicon Valley still. I'm a remote employee, but they're on another planet in Silicon Valley. I don't know. Here in Chicago, people keep it real. They're not ashamed of a Coors Light or whatever. Like, it's nice.
Oh, wow. I've never been to San Francisco, so I don't really know the vibe out there. But I can definitely agree that Chicago is real. Like, love a PBR, your local brewery, your little dive bar on the corner.
Yeah. This is great. I mean, there's that in San Francisco, too. It's a little more health aware there, I would say. I remember being in a meeting and saying how much I love McDonald's, and everyone in the meeting was like, ew, really? Who eats that? I'm like, are you kidding? I do. Not every day, but, sometimes. So that was like, that describes it for me. Just that example. Like, don't want to admit that. Or maybe they really don't eat McDonald's. I don't know. I just found that to be insane.
I've noticed that in growing up too, that some people aren't really willing to like indulge in the fun things, or like last weekend when it snowed, my roommates and I, we went and built a snowman in our backyard because we like had the space for it. And I was so happy for the rest of the day. And I just was like, that was great. And I don't really care if my neighbors thought it was kind of weird that a group of 20 somethings were building a snowman, but
I think it's important to be positive and take things as they come, because it's easy to be negative. Mm-hmm. It's easy, especially living here where the weather is crappy.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But I mean, I honestly, another thing I missed was the weather. When you don't have seasonal shifts and you're used to that because you grew up with that. Like, it's really weird that winter is rain or nothing, sun. It's like, I love rainy days. I love severe weather. I love snow. And it's just nice. Like, that's another thing that I can say inspires me about Chicago is just the changing seasons, the ebbs and the flows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, snow days where you're stuck inside, like, yeah, I'll paint. I guess I don't have anything else I can go and do.
Yeah. And that's something that I too love about Chicago with the, like, Chicago summer, like, everyone is mm-hmm. down to have a good time because it is so, so brief and so, ephemeral in some ways, because, you know, it's going to be gone in a few months.
That's true. And you definitely take it full advantage of it. And every month is, I don't know, I just feel like every month is special when you have, when it changes subtly. It was really weird in San Francisco. I was born in August and it's always hot, you know, obviously, but in San Francisco, it's foggiest month and it was foggy and cold. I was okay with it because it was different, but it was so weird. It was just like a weird, just weird to be seeing a cold weather in August. And they, I don't know.
Do you have a favorite month?
I would say, I don't know if I do. I like so many of the months for different reasons, but I think I like the fall the best. I don't know why. I have just like really good memories of the fall growing up and like the air is really crisp and I like that. But I also really like the springtime too. I don't have a favorite month. No one's ever asked me that.
Well, yeah, gotta be a first for everything.
I'm gonna think about that one later. I'll have to like email you like if I think of a favorite month for real.
I love that. Yeah. Like next week, you know, in the middle of the week, just be like, by the way, I remembered it's July.
Like I would say August because it's my birthday, but also I don't know if August is my favorite month. Maybe September or October. We'll go with that for now.
Amazing. Well, Adrienne, this has been a wonderful interview. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit about your art and your story. If our listeners want to check out your work anywhere, where would we direct them?
So you can go to my website, which as everyone now knows is full e-commerce. So ponopozz.com. It's P-O-N-N-O-P-O-Z-Z. Or you can find me on Instagram at ponopozz as well.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to link those in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on. Oh, could you also say the address of your store and the hours if they wanted to come check it out if they're in Chicago?
Yes. I cannot believe I almost forgot it. The store is located at 4824 North Damon. So just north of Lawrence. And the hours that I currently have are Thursday nights from 4 to 7 and Saturdays 11 to 4. And I subtly add or change those here and there, but you can see the most up-to-date hours always on my website and my Instagram bio. So
amazing. Well, thanks so much.
This was so nice. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And that's all for today. If you have any questions or comments about today's episode, you can email us at sitstilllookopinionated@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at sitstill_lookopinionated. And now on Twitter at sitstillpodcast. And make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you didn't hear that right, please write a review. Please, please, please write a review! This podcast was produced by Michael Dritto and Claire Malky, and written by myself, Claire Malky, Michael Dritto, Fee Basanyavichis, and Gabriel Scavor. Theme music by Terrence Jackson. Transition music by Christina Walter. Research by Ross Black. This program is partially supported by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council Agency. If you would like to support this podcast, please visit and subscribe to our Patreon page linked in the show notes. This podcast was recorded on the land of the Kickapoo, Peoria, and Potawatomi Nations. And of course, I'm your host, Claire Malky. Oh, and don't forget, stay opinionated. Bye!